Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al.
Good afternoon, Jess. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good. So we just have a laugh because I'm not going to go back into it. But I watched Eurovision on the weekend, and every time they pander on the crowd, all I saw was middle-aged like camp men. That's all it was. I realised we didn't do very well again. But I thought if we want to win that, you've got to be the most campest act on there because that always seems to win, and that's the demographic. Let's be honest. So listen, Al, maybe you next time in a pink tutu and makeup. Just sing any old song, doesn't really matter. As long as camp, I think you'll do very well.
Certainly, if it's going to win us the competition. I mean, let's face it, for years it's been Grand Bretagne, nil point, hasn't it?
What annoys me about that, right, is that the UK music industry is probably the most successful outside of America in the world.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
It's more commercial than anywhere. And yet we enter that competition and they're almost like jealous of us because we've got commercial success. Whereas, that's where it counts, let's be honest. And yet they don't vote for us in some way. And they get all this nonsense. Well, in fact, you've just got to go. The plan is, if I was on the Eurovision Song Contest committee, we're picking the song for UK, to say, we need to make it more camp. More camp. How can we just make it more camp? It's got to out-camp everything else because that's who the voters are. That's what they like. You've got to appeal to your crowd. You've got to know your crowd. And obviously, we don't. Ours just wasn't camp enough. Full stop.
Yeah, but here we are, the home of the Beatles, some the greatest songwriters ever, the Rolling Stones, Pink
Floyd.
Well,
even recently, you've got Adele, you've got Ed Sheeran, you've got Dua Lipa. They're massive across the world.
Yeah,
do you know of any French or German artists that are globally successful like that? Coldplay,
Charles Aznavour.
Yeah, Joe Taxi. That was the last one.
Joe Taxi. That's it.
But I find it astounding how literally we don't get any votes on that when we are the most successful country in regards to writing songs outside of America, pretty much, and we compete with America, and they're a lot larger, So it's annoying.
Well, I think actually it's a lot to do with the commentary that we get in this country, and I think I think it's Graham Norton at the moment, isn't it? And then before that, of course, it was the great Sir Terry, and it was always tongue in cheek, but it was always poking fun and a bit of a laugh, and that's how we do look at it. And I think they've actually taken offence to that. So the Britons, they were not win this competition ever.
Yeah, you don't take it seriously.
No.
We don't have to. It's a sideshow. The real deal is the commercial success of artists, and that speaks for itself. Let's have a look. What's the markets like today? Let's have a quick look at the markets before we start. So we've got FTSE down. They're all down a little bit, but we've had a good rally. And in fact, a lot of my stocks are doing very well. I want to share something with you, Al. Yeah, I want to share something with you. Right, look at that. Harman House thrilled to announce he acquired the fantastic Share Pickers forthcoming book, How to Become a Micro Cap Millionaire. Justin has walked the walk as a private investor, and the book is a gem. Print, digital, and audio books are coming globally this year. So I'm very pleased.
Congratulations on your publishing debut, Jess. That's
yeah.
Again. Excellent.
I've always wanted to write it. I read every night. I always read, but I tend to read it, take my mind off investing because that's all I think about ever. So I tend to read sort of, crime thrillers, drama thrillers and that every night for my Kindle. But I've always wanted to write a book. And I've tried several times to write books, but they weren't about my passion. My passion is investing. And when it's come to investing, I found it flowed quite well. I did sort of dig up some facts and figures and look back at share prices that I'd done and all that and the indices. So I do a lot of research. But, you know, when you talk about something you really enjoy, it's quite easy, isn't it? You know, and it makes it a lot easier. So anyway, any advice to anyone, if you're ever thinking of writing a book, do it about your passion. And that way,
absolutely,
it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah. It's very important. You know, if you're passionate about something, then and you can write about it, you can eulogize about it, and it will come across in the book, I'm sure. So, I've not received my free copy yet, though, just so I'm sure that'll arrive through shortly. So.
It's in the post now.
Thank you.
I may have your old address, though. That's the thing. You get somebody who's like, "What's this book?" someone who's living in the first. In fact, you know what? A lovely story in the book. I did talk about how I stopped my passion started, was ignited by my A-levels economics teacher called Mr. Barry Williams. He's Welsh, and he was doing economics. I found a bit boring. But one day he just started a stocks and shares competition. And I thought, this is quite good. And I went up to the library there, and he showed us an old copy of FT, because it was pre-internet, of course. And he said, pick a stock from here. You are, right, give me £1,000. I went, £1,000? I thought, I'll just keep the money. And he said, not real. Wait, it's not real, you fool. He said, just pick a stock from here, and next week we'll check in and see how you're doing. And from that day, I was hooked. And so in the book, I do thank that teacher. And today, actually, I've managed to get in contact with him, because I was searching for Barry Williams, and his name is John Barry Williams. So I found him, and I've emailed him. I'm going to, because I put acknowledgement in the book, saying, without you, I wouldn't have started investing. And I think that's a mark of a great teacher, when you inspire someone and it changes their life, you know. And so, it's really nice. I'm going to have emailed him, but hopefully he'll get back to me. But it's a lovely little story.
That's a great story. That's really nice, you know, sort of poor, impoverished, worse lad, you know, makes it big. You know, his teacher sort of advised him on stocks and shares, and boom, you know. But I mean, perhaps I think there are some salutary lessons there, because particularly kids at school, going through education, it takes something like that to actually engage your brain, and for you to see, okay, so I'm learning all this, and this is how I apply it in later life. And it's often those threshold moments that that actually make things come to life, and clearly that was the case with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it. I still think now that's why I set up a website called Champion Investor, which is, you know, a free fancy stocks and shares competition, because I think it should be taught at schools. There's so much rubbish I was taught at schools that have no relevance in real life.
And
it's about learning about businesses. And if you want to create, like, you know, a nation of entrepreneurs, of wealth creators, you've got to teach them about investing. So you learn all that. And it's not just about whether you want to invest in the stock market. If you're going to start a business, it's very good to know about businesses. And so I think it should be the bedrock of, rather than learn about Pythagoras' theorem or something like that, learn about investing, learn about business, you know, real stuff.
I think that's never a true word spoken. I think if kids at school were given an understanding of profit and loss, you know, the basics behind a business, how to plan your expansion, you know, finding the right people, making sure the people that work for you are fully incentivized and happy in their work, all of that stuff. You know, there's a whole raft of stuff to cover, but I think that's the most valuable education anyone can have. So, agree.
Right, let's talk to the stocks. What are you looking at?
Okay, so three companies for you today, Just. Firstly, there's an AIM listed company called Truefin.
I know Truefin very well. I hold some shares in Truefin. I've held them for a long time. I've had James on the podcast several times. And in fact, their news update and their trading update.
They did indeed. So this is a company that it's an operating company for a bunch of technology businesses operating in the early payment provision sector, also invoice finance. That's a very popular way of making sure you get paid on time to help cash flow nowadays, and also console games publishing. So the early payment provision part of the business is called Oxygen Finance. It's been part of Truefin since their IPO, and they're the leading provider, certainly in the UK, of payment control insights, and it's that they provide a whole raft of support at various levels to the finance department within various companies. Then, complementary.
Auction, by the way, Auction. It's a leading finance provider that to most councils and all that stuff. But it's probably the biggest in the UK. Yeah. But the visibility of the forward revenues is huge. Literally, contracts of 5 years. Yeah. And the churn they have is hardly anything. So I think they made an offer, I think it was 2 years ago now, time flies, 2 years ago, I think it was 26 million or something like that, or a year and a half ago, and they turned it down. And even though that seemed like quite a high valuation, they didn't know, because people love the forward guidance they've got on the revenue. They know pretty much 98% of the revenue over the next 3 to 5 years is locked in. All they have to do is keep adding, you know.
Yeah. Which is absolutely huge, and when you're planning on building a business around that, if you've got that guarantee, you can plan in confidence, and that's hugely important. And of course, it's a very complex version of invoice factoring, if you like. But that business has been really a cornerstone of Truth and success. But also, there's another company called Satago, which is a London-based fintech company, and again, this is a based around invoice financing to help companies manage cash flow. One simple integration is a fully digitized solution, and they also provide a white label lending as a service to through partnerships. And in that regard, they've got a partnership with Lloyds Bank. Yeah. Then the third element of the business is PlayStack, which is a games publishing console, and they have in-house developers that help them to create original IP, original technology, but they also have a system which helps them identify great games that are out there and also monetize them. And there are some very gifted games publishers out there and people that build and write games, but they don't perhaps have the marketing wherewithal to take it further. And this is where PlayStack come in. And we had an update from them in March, full year results last year. So full year to December, gross revenues up 34% to 20.5 million. Margins at 72%, up from 70% previously, but also an adjusted loss before tax of 6.1 million, down from losses of 8.2 million last year. Ended the year with cash of just over 10 million in the bank, compared to 6 million previously. So that's a really solid end to the year. There's although, of course, the loss. But we had an update from them today. Trading for this year expected to be significantly ahead of market expectations. The reason behind this outperformance is driven by the games console side of the business. PlayStack recently launched two games, Bellatro, and also a game today called Abiotic Factor. And they pre-sold about 250,000 games, I think, for Abiotic Factor, which has really helped to boost the revenues. But also, there's a very robust performance across the rest of the business too. So it's a very good start, certainly for the year for the company. And certainly, if we look at the chart, we'll see, really since February this year, when it hit the lows of 45p, we're straight back up there to 78p at year highs.
Yeah, well, do you know what? That sell-off here is down to a fund, but literally, if you look at the shareholder register on this company, it's stacked with also a big sort of investor from Scandinavia, who were originally from behind, I think, the cruise liners, but now they've become an investment house. So they're a multi-generational family who are multi-billionaires, and they've got a stake in this. But there's very few, but sometimes you often get a fund just swapping out, and that happened there, but it was acquired, bought up by the fund straight away, but that was just the pressure, and it came down. But Auction and PlayStack. PlayStack's got now, a load of games coming out in the next 2 years. The Auction and PlayStack are great businesses, I believe, but Satago could be an exceptional business. When you've got the likes of Lloyds and Sage, FTSE 100 companies using your tech, because Lloyds had a system like Satago, it wasn't as good. They ripped it out. Now, that takes a lot for a bank to rip out their own software and say, we're going to use Satago, it's better. That says a lot to me. They're one of the biggest banks in the UK. Sage are also doing the same, and they're also in discussions with other banks. So I think Satago could be one of those, almost like, I don't want to say it, but unicorns. It's a phenomenal bit. And they're writing that on its own. It's worth about 100 million. So you pair that together with a place of Auction, it was it rejected offer of 26 million. That's 126 million. And where are we now? That we are literally at 77 million, just, and that's without play stack. So, you know, it's double. So I think it's, the longer they hold on to these, I mean, eventually they will spin these, you know, I don't know what they tend to do, but, and give money back to shareholders. But I think they are improving markedly. And I think the longer they hold on to these companies, the share price will just rocket, I think. It's very rare to have a company, it's not investing in it, they own these businesses as a whole, you know, it's a holding company. So it's not like investing 5% in them, they own them. So it's very rare to have, like, you know, three companies, all of which are successful. And it's just varying degrees of success. So, yeah, I really like Truefin. And I think it's just the start now. They're going to be getting towards EBITDA sort of positivity this year. And I'm just powering ahead from there, I think. Yeah, it's good business. I like it. I like it a lot.
I agree. I think there's a lot more to come from there, too. I think they're in a very strong position indeed. And, and you know, having the exposure, I think, to invoice financing and also to...
early payments, early payments and invoice financing is huge.
It's a huge business, but the exposure to the gaming industry, I think, just gives it that it gives it a different dimension. And you know, I think that's probably, although the invoice financing is huge, and that's really the cash cow part of the business. I think, you know, when you've got when you release a game, you pre-sell a quarter million copies. I mean, that's always a good sign. And That's a big splash of cash into the account too.
It's very rare to have two hits in a row. They're really just starting. They're doing something right. And not only that, by the way, this is not the big hit. The big hit, Mortal Shell, which they sold a million units of, I think, almost a year and a half, 2 years ago now.
They've
also signed a deal to do Mortal Shell 2 and Mortal Shell 3. Now, once you get a big hit in your hands, that's the hard bit done, because it's getting a hit is the hard bit. And then obviously gamers want the follow-up then. So from nowhere, it sold a million units, Mortal Shell. And now they've got, you know, a backlog of customers, pleased customers, wanting to get 2 and 3. So already they've got pretty much, I don't know how many units they'll sell, but a million customers ready lined up for the next, you know, installments of Mortal Shell. So I think it's great. I think it's, you know, it's going in the right direction. It was, you know, it did come down here and that was a bit worrying. What's going on here? But it wasn't, and it's bounced back massively. I mean, that was an opportunity when you look back in the rearview mirror. But it's doing well. Yeah. Cool. What's next, Al?
Okay. Anglesey Mining.
Yes.
This is a company that we spoke about before, but some pretty major developments.
Is this where the website's got quite a nice, what's the ticker there again?
AYM is the epic code.
AYM.
Yeah.
Is this where the website's got a nice little Tesla driving through? Is that one? Anglesey Mining, is it?
No.
What's this?
You're thinking of European Green Transition.
Yes. Anglesey Mining, no, they've got a nice picture. Yeah, there we are. A picture of Anglesey there.
That's actually the Paris Mountain Mine, PARYS, not BIRIS. This is the mine that has a huge amount of history there. The original open cast mine is now used as a film set. The film Mortal Kombat was filmed there, and it's this remarkable lunar landscape. It's quite incredible when you go there. I was actually there in December last year. I went along with the with several analysts and a couple of the directors to just look at what was happening there. They had the original mine headframe, and as you can see there on the pic, a discovery was made by the previous management team, an area called the Northern Copper Zone, which is to the north of the mine, as you might expect. They've been drilling, undertaking infill drilling over the past few months, and the assay results from that drilling is coming back. You see there, I just noticed there. Yeah, okay, you've gone to the announcement there. So we've seen. They've identified under this area, the Northern Copper Zone, an area of mineralization that's about 100 meters thick. But this area of mineralization is thought to extend. It could extend for as long as a kilometer. And they're undertaking infill drilling at the moment to establish just how big this is. They've just appointed a gentleman by the name of Rob Marston, who actually has published a video today. If you look on Twitter, in fact, you saw it just now on the page. If you scroll up, there's just the right. So Rob actually just introduced himself directly from the mine. outlined his plans. The just very, you know, pragmatic about the approach he's taking with the company. But they have a set of assay results back that are confirming up the model. When they undertook the previous preliminary economic estimate in 2021, or the PEA, they estimated a 5 million ton haul of copper. That they expect to increase substantially with these results, but they're going to get the LIFO metallurgical results back in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Once they have that back, Rob and the team are going to put together an update on that PEA number. So it's really exciting. It's really important. More importantly, they have a lot of support from the Amwilkes community, or the Anglesey community there, where the locals love the mine, because obviously it's been there for hundreds of years. When they do filming there, or undertake filming, or it's used as a film set, there's lots of business comes into the village. But more significantly, if this mine is developed, which there's an increasing belief there that it will be developed, it's going to create a huge amount of employment in the area. They have a route to Holyhead Port for the ore already agreed with the council. And at Holyhead, the traffic out of Holyhead Port is down some 35 to 40% post-Brexit. And there is a jetty that can be used there to get the ore directly from the trucks onto a boat. So all of the plans are in place to get this moving. But at the stage it's at now, it requires somebody of Rob's caliber to come in. Just a bit on his background. I mean, Rob has spent some 30 years in the industry. He worked for Rio Tinto for 15 years. And the last period of his tenure at Rio, he was working in London. He was working for the investment team, looking at investment opportunities for Rio Tinto and recommending those opportunities to the board. So he then went to set his own company, Marsden Gray, up. He ran that for 10 years, and he's come in as CEO now. So obviously he's seen something of great potential here, and we're going to find out more from Rob in various interviews in the coming weeks and months. But if you look at the grades on that announcement, you'll see, you know, it's consistent. Really? The mineralization is consistent all the way through. And Andrew King said that Paris Mountain is demonstrably the largest and most advanced copper project in the UK, with substantial resource upside still evident. So, you know, I think they're all very excited about the next steps from that. Aside from Paris Mountain, Anglesey also have a stake in the Grängesberg iron ore project in Sweden. And Grängesberg has a net present value currently of some $688 million. Internal rate of return of 25.9% post-tax. That is in the process of being worked through too. The priority, of course, is Paris Mountain, but that is another dimension to the business that will deliver value at some point, along with the holding the company has in Labrador Iron Ore Mines. But the company is trading currently on a market cap of just 6.2 million. So the shares have been trading at about between 1.5 and 2p over the past year. So, you know, I think as a copper project in the UK, copper for
that's
some...
copper. That's a copper price there. Look at that. Look at that recently.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, indeed. So we know what's happening with the copper price. In fact, one of our writers did an article on copper recently, noted the comment from a Trafigura chief executive, Jeremy Reed. He believes that copper could bust through $12,000 a ton. And with those sort of prices, obviously every copper project is back in vogue. But this is very much a mature project in so many ways, in that the infrastructure is already there, the mine's already there, the road network is in place already, and the opportunity to ship from Holyhead is there too. So this company is at a really exciting juncture in this evolution, and we're going to hear a lot more in the coming months.
Yeah, well, copper's up pretty much over 25% since the start of the year. So
yeah. I know you've been talking with John Meyer and others about copper. It's a huge opportunity at the moment. But I think as a critical mineral, it's got so many more applications than say lithium or other metals in that.
Well, that's it. Listen, I mean, there's always, you know, advancements in technology and science trying to find alternative sources of power, you know, to lithium and all that stuff. And that's still going on. You see that all the time. And in fact, you've got obviously the comparisons with hydrogen gas, whatever. But copper's needed in everything, in old world applications and in new world applications, even more so. So there's no substitute for copper, is there really, you know?
Well, there isn't, no. And as you say, it's got that multitude of applications. There is a supply squeeze on the way because the volume of vehicles we're producing now, you know, just on the road alone, the surge in electric vehicle development and building, I think it's something like 23 kilograms of copper in a conventional car, some 85 kilograms of copper in an EV. So that alone is going to drive demand. Then, of course, you've got all the clean tech applications, wind turbines and everything else. And then what copper is normally used for, you know, copper piping and everything else. So it's the most widely used element. I think Anglesey's at a really exciting juncture. And certainly you look at the other UK projects that are receiving funding for various quarters. You have Cornish Lithium that received a grant from the UK Infrastructure Fund. Who's to say that sort of money won't be available to develop Paris Mountain in the near future?
Yeah. Okay, marvellous stuff. What's next, Al?
Okay, back to a digital company again. I want to talk about Zoo Digital. So this company
Zoo, yes, I know. I own a little bit of Zoo. I saw the trade a while back. That's my entry here. Because they did a cracking, because this has been hammered due to writer's strike and all that stuff. And then,
we were talking about facilities by ADF the other week, weren't we? Share price also been hammered by the Hollywood writer's strike. But I mean, talk about the originators into the world of digital streaming. I mean, Zoo really were there right at the start, and in a sense, they have kind of been a key cornerstone in the development of digital trading. They're founded in 2001. They've operated all over the world. They've got hubs in Los Angeles, London, Dubai, Turkey, Korea, India, Spain, Denmark. They've also got a development center here in the UK in Sheffield as well. And they provide media streaming platforms for Hollywood studios and for companies and studios around the world. But they provide an end-to-end service where they provide services for original content, catalogue content. They provide dubbing, subtitles, language, and a raft of other options. They played a leading cornerstone role in the evolution of this business. And as such, they're uniquely placed as the go-to provider. So again, back on the numbers again, you know, if we go back to November last year, they announced their interim results. And at that point, as we can see really on the chart here, I mean, we've
got the chart then. Yeah. Oh, no, where's gone? Oh, there we are. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of
here.
Yeah. So at the end of October, they were, the shares dropped, but of course the revenues at that point were down 58% to $21 million due to the strike. Loss before interest, tax and depreciation and amortization of $7.1 million. That's from a $7.3 million EBITDA figure previously. Still had cash of $17 million, and that was up from $10 million previously. But of course, in the interim, they have used their cash to cover costs. So that some of that has gone. But we've had several trading updates which have really helped to sort of drive the price a bit higher since the end of March this year. And we've seen today with a trading update, the company has said it expects to end the year with net cash of about $5.3 million, which is, of course, is better than indicated. They expect revenues for the first quarter of 2025 to be up 36% on the previous quarter in 2024. And they also now expect to hit EBITDA break-even in quarter one. So that's a really, really quick turnaround. And it's been rewarded by the share price really since the end of March. But the board have said that they see real opportunities now to rebuild the revenues following the strike, and they're very confident of their success, and also in the consensus expectations for the coming year that have been laid down by some analysts. So, this is a huge business. I mean, we all stream content nowadays. We're all watching Netflix. We're all watching Apple TV. We're all watching Amazon. This is stream content, and this is where it's at. And Zoo Digital are one of the cornerstone developers of this sector and of this medium.
Yeah. No, do you know what? I interviewed the CEO, who owns a decent chunk of shares, actually, a few years back, and I quite liked it. Now, it was one of the stocks where you almost say, I don't know, because at the time they were loss making, and I didn't press the trigger. And I think it was around about here, 2020, just after that, and they just started moving. And I thought, oh, let them come back a bit. And they come out, but then I took my eye off the ball, and literally they went from 53 pence to like over £2. And oh no! And then obviously there's like right to strike. So I thought, okay. And this is the thing with shares. There's always another opportunity, you know, because they've taken this knock, and largely it's not their fault. The right to strike, it has knocked them hugely, yes. But it's not their fault. And so I thought, when I saw that trading update come out, I thought I'm going to take a little bit here because I think this will regain previous highs because the growth is very good. Okay, the valuation is a little bit questionable, the margins are questionable, but when you've got growth, you know, that can fill in the end. You get more efficient and hopefully anyway. So when I saw that they were bouncing back, I took a little stake. On that day, I think it jumped like 51%. I got in halfway up, I think, somewhere there. So it's nicely up now. But by the way, I just should have pointed out that this is a true Finns. Go back to that. This is their growth expected, 109%, 15%, 20%. So they're still clocking up here. And I've got a sort of a broker target, by the way, is 130. That's 75% up. And I promise similar target.
That's good.
And let's look at Zoo, for example. Zoo, there we go. So broker target here is 103. That's 87.23. Now, you are going to see, when they come up with their full year results for 2023, it's not going to be good compared to the previous years because that's the troublesome year. They're bouncing back now. So, like I said, up until 31st, I mean, you can see there, this was the half year results, which dropped by 58% on the previous year. That was the previous year, all good in the previous year, but the half year, which is more, that's the 9th September, that was the March 2023, that was nice. So it started, the right strike started to have an impact throughout this half of the year. But if you look forward, they're expected, these are in pounds, not dollars, but they're expected to do 65% and I've added 20% there, but they're going to carry on. They get back to profitability and value looks quite good. But I think it's just one, now I'm on a bit of a, about 50-60% send up. I think it's just one to hold and see where it goes because it's, I think it's one of those. But you understand, I didn't realize this when I looked at what they do. They do, people say, they'll be affected by AI. They use AI. It's like they won't be affected by it. But when you realize the amount of different formats there are around the world, from dubbing, but not only that, the actual, the picture itself,
translation,
not all TV screens, all different, everything. And they do all that. And like I said, with all the big houses there. And so it's looking good. And
lots of platforms are buying old films and they're converting the films into digital so they can be disseminated through those channels. That's all chargeable work, and they generate money from this. So it's a lucrative business, and we're all heading increasingly that way. We're all reliant now on the internet to receive our content, and that could be on the mobile phone, it could be on the laptop, it could be on our streaming TVs. A raft of content is available, and it's growing exponentially. How many more channels, digital channels, are there today compared to say 2 years ago? Infinitely more, so it's a huge growth area.
And also, if you notice, a lot of these big platforms on Netflix, they are global, so they have to, if they've got a big hit in their hands, they will reformat it for every region. But I think they'll also learn from their writer's strike, because they did go back to doing archiving stuff. I think basically they put stuff on the back burner that, had to be reformatted, like older stuff to new formats. And then they literally were so busy with the current stuff from Netflix. And when the writer's strike kicked in, it caught them on the back foot a little bit. And so now I think they realise as a backup, they need to have this raft of archive stuff that they need to carry on with if you get any writer's strikes happening again. But they will happen again, but they probably won't be for another 5 years probably. So, I think it's a good recovery play. And it started off well anyway. It's literally, like I said, from the bottom here, it's the bottom. It's done 190% from the bottom. Of course, no one gets to the bottom. I did get in here and I bought a few more on the way up, but I mean, I'm about 60% up. But good momentum here. And like I said, it's good to see they've got cash now ahead of expectations. They've got a debt facility if they need it, and work is coming back. So hopefully it'll carry on recovering. Of course, it'll have to go sideways for a while because you've got a bit of it's rallying strongly. And we are at 70-odd in the RSI, so maybe it'll have to go sideways for a while. But looks like the bottom was in there. Down at 21 pence.
Still a good entry point, though, Jess. That's very good.
Yeah. It's one of those things. In the morning, you know, I talk about this in the book, sort of workflow. And what I look for a lot is, you know, most important things for me are sort of results, contracts, trading updates. Trading updates, especially because they're a preview of what's to come, you know. I mean, they are normally the highlights or something, but the company is a recovery play. So I sort of liken it. I put companies into two sectors, performers or recovery plays. You know, performers are the ones doing well. They've got everything going on. And obviously you read their trading updates to make sure they're continuing to that. But with recovery plays, they're a bit riskier, but the recovery and the upside can be very quick. Because as soon as they give a glimpse, they're recovering, you know, they've gone from being hammered and undervalued to now getting back towards a decent valuation. So you can really, so keep an eye out on trading updates because they're the first sort of glimpse into the interims or the full year results where they give an inkling that they are recovering, you know? And so, yeah, so if you can get in so early on those, but there we are. But there's a lot to read in the morning sometimes, isn't there? You know, sometimes you miss some, something, you know, you win some, you lose some. So, yeah.
There is indeed. Yep.
All right, fella. Well, listen, I won't mention, I suppose you don't care about Tottenham ladies losing 4-0, do you?
Well, we had to talk about Spurs at some point, didn't we?
Do you care about the women's game or not?
Watch it. I knew it was on. I saw the result, and it's a shame. But there we go. But I was more interested in the result against Burnley, really. But
Again, they started off weak. They went down 1-0. I thought, what the heck is going on? Here's a team now about to be relegated. Tottenham should beat them easily. They went down 1-0.
I know. And that's the thing. Anything can happen. But I think we always have the quality. I mean, the good thing is, you know, somebody in the team takes charge of it. You know, Porro came back with a fantastic goal to equalise. And then of course, Mickey van der Ven steps up with a great winner. But, you know, Brennan Johnson, when that guy starts scoring goals, he really will, because he's in the right position on so many occasions, but he can't finish it. So when he gets his finishing boots on, he'll be a real hot prospect. But for now, it's very frustrating to watch.
Marvellous. Cheers, Al. We'll speak to you next week.
Cheers, Just. Speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.